Bibles, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. Going to try to take on a little lengthy passage, and it is a challenging passage. It's the most difficult parentheses in the Bible, in my opinion. But I think by God's grace, we can simplify it and help you see truths that you know, but it's all going to be in one place, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. Title of the message tonight, The Impact of One Man. If you heard me pray, I don't know if there's going to be an overwhelming amount of application. People that know me know that my preaching is heavy on application, and I've never figured out, so I think Sunday school is a great venue to go deeper. I've never figured out how to balance the depth and the application, and so I'm always doing that. But the so what is such a big deal to me. If I'm known for anything good about that, is I do emphasize the so what. I think it's important, but I hope I don't do it at the expense of depth of truth. But I don't know if I'm going to have a so what this morning, except the impact of one man. We're going to see two men mentioned in this passage tonight, Adam and Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Adam was a type of Christ. And we'll see that in verse 14. It says that Adam was a figure of him that was to come, speaking of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about those two men and the impact they had on this world. And so when I think about application tonight, it's not nearly the impact that the first Adam had or the second Adam had, but I will tell you, it's critical that you do not underestimate, how God can use one person in this room that dedicates themselves to the Lord. If you can just remember this, it's so beautiful, so encouraging. It is not based on your talent. It's based on your faith in Christ and based on your just simple obedience to the commands He's given you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And God can do great and mighty things through the least talented, the least gifted person in this room that will just simply trust and obey. And I want you to be encouraged by that. That's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity. I never gave that speech when I was in secular business. I said, don't worry, it has nothing to do with your talent. I never said that. It had everything to do with their talent. If you weren't any good, go somewhere else. But the beautiful thing about Christianity is, and I would try, we should do it nicely, right? I'm not justifying being, so you guys are looking at me, he's like, I'm glad it didn't work for you, maybe. But it is, you ought to be kind about it, but in the world, it's about, performance, and it's about talent and all those things, and there's politics and all that too. But with Christ, it's simply faith and obedience. It's amazing. That's why at the end, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Whoever you think is top dog is probably not. Those you don't know of are probably going to be the ones that Christ knows of more than any others. And those are going to get premium eternal rewards. And we will all... we'll all be thrilled for them. And it's not those that are seen. And I praise the Lord for public Christians that are great examples for our stance for Christ. I am thankful for that. But I will tell you, it's the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Let's read this passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It follows this great passage of love, this great passage of what Christ did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's look at verse 12. Wherefore? How in the world did we get in this state that we were without strength, that we were, we were not the righteous, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners? How did we get to that state? Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want you to drop down, if you will, to verse 18. We're going to read verse 12, and then we're going to go to verse 18 and 19, and then we're going to tackle the parentheses. But I just want you to see the flow, and then the parentheses will help us with verse 12 Let's read 12, 18, 19. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's the verses, but now there's this parentheses in verses 12 through 17. Let's read verse 12, and then I want us to read the parentheses, and then we'll begin the message. Verse 12, maybe many of you have it memorized. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. And it's talking about this figure that is to come, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not as the offense, so also is the free gift. So the free gift's different than the offense. We'll talk about that. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. So the gift's different than that one that sinned, and here's he going to explain it. I'll talk about this later. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You're going to love that when you understand that. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And there is a distinction. We'll talk that. Well, tonight, the title of the message is The Impact of One. I want you to see in verse 12, first thing I want you to see tonight is one man brought sin to all. That's what it's talking about there. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. We've talked this. This is just review. It is Adam and Eve were created perfect, holy, sinless by God. Eve sinned first. But the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that she was deceived. We see also that in Genesis chapter 3, but the Bible makes sure we understand that. Why was Eve then not the passer on of the sin nature unto man? She was deceived. Adam was not. And thereby God held Adam accountable. He held Adam accountable for being the head of that first family. And he held Adam accountable. And so then, here's the reality. Every one of us are children of Adam. You may have heard that phrase, right, in Aslan, right? So there's some cool phraseology in there. We're all children of Adam. And so by being a child of Adam, we are born sinners. And the Bible says, and wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. One man brought sin to all. Sin brought death to all. Look at verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, this is important. It is because of the sin of Adam, we are all born sinners. People can say this all day long. That's not fair. Well, the Bible makes a couple things clear. It is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is the reality that says you sin because you want to sin. You know, I don't know if I care, but I'll pick a side that I... You know, people say, do you sin? Do you sin because you're a sinner, or does your sin make you a sinner? I think you sin because you're a sinner, but I don't know if I care. But the Bible says you're born a sinner, so thereby you sin. But the Bible also says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you also sin. You make that choice. Now here's what I love about God. We've seen this in Romans chapter 2 already. It is why babies can die. Sin brings death. What I love about Romans chapter 2, where there is no law, where there is no knowledge of the law, they will perish without the law. And one of the great tragedies in all of human history and just today. You know, I know this. None of us even want to. I struggle to even say the words about babies dying, children dying. And the beautiful thing is God will not hold them where there is no knowledge of the law. They will perish without the law. And so, but that explains why babies die. They don't die with knowledge of their sin, but they can die because they're born sinners and they still sin. It's when that point, when the law, it's like, whenever that, it's the knowledge. You know, there's not an age of accountability. We've talked this. I won't re-preach that. It is the knowledge of sin. There's a knowledge of accountability. When you know the law, you will be held accountable for that. That happens fairly young. I don't know. There's not a specific age. But when you understand sin, and you understand that you've sinned against God, you'll be held accountable for that. And you don't have to be 15 to know that. You're going to be fairly young. One man brought sin to all. Sin brought death to all. Now let's look at verse 13. And you can get so wrapped up into this, but I think it's way more simple. I read some commentaries. I've read more commentaries. Normally I don't read as many commentaries. I read more commentaries with this message than I have in a number of messages combined. And sometimes I read it and I thought, whoa! Where'd you get that? Because you can't find that anywhere else in the Bible. And they were coming up with some fanciful conclusions. And let me just tell you what I believe verse 13 is. It says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." I want you to understand, you know what I think that all that saying is? The law revealed sin to all. And we saw that in Romans chapter 2. Just take you back there. Just look back one page in my Bible. Romans chapter 2 says this in verse 14. It says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." It's a great thing to know when you're witnessing to people. People know what's right and wrong. You know, don't spend all day arguing with people, but, you know, I've met one person in my entire life that said they'd never sinned. I can't have a conversation with them then, right? So, but everybody knows what's right and wrong. They know what sin is, and because God wrote it on their heart, that's a beautiful thing. Here's all I think verse 13 saying. "For until the law, sin was in the world," until the law revealed that. "And but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Again, I think it references back to Romans chapter 2. Now, what can confuse you is verse 14. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Now, what happened with Moses? God wrote the law down. It would remove all debate, would it not? This is what's right and wrong. It was before written on their hearts, right? They still knew what's right and wrong, but we could have a debate because we can't today. That's why when God reveals sin, we can highlight sin in love, because when the Bible says it, that's the final authority. And when God says it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to use the Lord's name in vain, it's wrong to make an image and worship it, remember the Sabbath, all those things, you know, honor your father and your mother, God said it. Well, let's just understand verse 14. He says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Well, when Moses came, God wrote it down. What was different between everybody after Adam until Moses? God told Adam, "Don't do this." Right? There's no evidence that God told Abel, "Don't do this." Well, and especially Cain, thank you for that scripture tonight. Cain knew what was right and wrong. Was it because God went up to Cain and said, "Don't kill your brother"? There's no evidence of that. It's not after the similitude of Adam. It's not where God said, "I'm going to tell you what's right and wrong." Until Moses came, it was never written down. You know why people died? Because of sin. And it was imputed to them because the knowledge of the law was written on their hearts. I think it's consistent. I think that's all that it means. I want you to rest in that. Let's read verse 13 and 14, see if you'll agree. I think it's just talking about the revelation of the law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. It had to be revealed on their hearts, but it wasn't the same as Adam. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, over the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Let me just make a brief comment. It is, and I almost would just love to flash your chart up here, Stephen. It was an excellent job, right? The Bible calls the Adam we know about, Adam and Eve, the first Adam, and it calls Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the last Adam, because they are so similar. Adam was created perfect, holy, without sin. Jesus was created perfect, holy, without sin. It is obviously God's the giver of life, but I agree with Stephen this morning that he said it was the direct hand of God that formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. God didn't form you that way. God gave you life. We know that from John chapter 1. We know that from other chapters as well, but not the same as Adam. You were born a sinner as well. And so Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came over Mary and created an impossible birth. Without a man and a woman, it was a virgin that conceived, and it was the direct work of the Holy Spirit on Mary. And so what we're going to see now is we're going to have a comparison. We're going to compare Adam. One sin. I always make it look like it's an apple. We don't know what the fruit was. You know, but I was holding an apple right here, wasn't I? But it could be, you know, grape. I've heard grapes. Whatever it was. You know, when Adam ate of that fruit, he disobeyed God, and he immediately died spiritually that day. And his body began to die that minute. Now, he lived 930 years, so not as quickly as us, but he did. And so now I want you to see. So let's just walk through this. For until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similarity of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, what I want you to see in verse 15, we don't speak this way as much anymore, but I want you to see this, and I want you to come up to me and we'll talk about it, because I want you to make sure that you're just not going, whatever. But it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. So what he's saying here is, the free gift, though it's similar, is different than the offense. And he's going to explain that, right? So he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. So it's a little different. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. I want you to see this as well. It'll use the word many, and it could have used the word all. Okay? So when it says this, for if through the offense of one, many be dead. How many people are going to die? One out of one. It's 100% chance you're going to die. But what it says when it uses the word many, that's not incorrect. It's just talking about the multitudes of humanity through time. They're going to all die because of the offense of one. Let's look at 15 again. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I'm keeping the consistency. One man brings grace to all. One man brings sin to all, which brings death to all. The law reveals that we are sinners. By one man brings grace to all. Let's read 15 and make sure you see that and agree with me. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He's getting to this point that Jesus, and I'm going to use a term that I'll use it in just a second. I won't give you that. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, which is really all, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, or unto all. I want you to see now verse 16 and 17. I use this. Now, Muneeb, this is my term. So I've loved Muneeb. I love my international friends, because I don't know if this is exactly the best English, but it's more better. And That's what verses 16 and 17 are trying to say. So Muneeb, I promise you, I'm not making fun. I love it. I've loved it since the day I met you. And I've now learned that it crosses. It's just not Arabic-speaking people. It's Hispanic-speaking people. It's international people that love to say more better. And you know this? Ain't never used to be a word. More better is not a proper phrase. It should be. That's what verse 16 and 17 is. Jesus is more better than Adam. Way better than Adam. And that's worthy of an amen, right? It is. So let's look at verse 16. And so it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. So he's saying this. The gift's different. You don't speak that way, but that's what he's saying. The gift is different than the penalty of sin. And now we're going to see that here in verse 16. So it's different. This gift of grace. And so let's see this in verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I want you to see that. Do you understand this? How many sins did Adam have to do for death to be the consequence to be passed upon all men? One. Now the comparison, you have the first Adam. That's the Adam we know about, Adam and Eve. We're just not used to calling Jesus the second Adam, the last Adam. The first Adam was a picture of Jesus. There's so many pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament that it's always about Jesus. It's always about the Messiah. But what he's saying here is this. This is what's beautiful. One sin, death to all. Jesus, one man, his death covers all offenses. Do you see the uniqueness of that? I said this morning, I actually went and calculated this, right? Because no one said anything, but I thought, you know, I wonder what people are thinking. I had a lady once that left our church. I made this comment. I said, I sin every day. She never came back. And she said, I can never go to a church where a pastor sins every day. I said, do you know what the word sin means? It means missing the mark of perfection. I said, I've never had a perfect day where I gave the Lord a fist bump and said, you're welcome. You know, I never have. I've never had a perfect hour. So I calculated how many hours I've been alive on this earth. Nearly a half a million hours. 473 million. It's 473,000, excuse me. Half a million. 473,000 some odd hours I've been alive. And so when I said this morning I've sinned millions of times, I went back to say, you know, am I nuts? I don't think that's an exaggeration. Remember that sin can be sins of commission. We're all guilty of that way too terribly. But it's the sins of omission. We know what to do and we don't do it. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I want to tell you the reason I bring that up. That's why Jesus is way more better. I want to tell you this. We should never minimize the grace of God. Is that one sin brought death to all men. The Bible says, you know, you can keep the whole law yet offend in one point and you're guilty of all. But Jesus brought grace, and the great difference is the free gift. Look at verse 16, the end of verse 16. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now let's look at verse 17, because there's a important distinction here as well in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. There is a distinction. What did you do to be worthy of death? The answer is nothing. You and I were worthy of death. We were born sinners. And so that's the truth of God. The distinction is this. While Jesus made the provision for all, and we'll see that, you must receive that gift. You must receive, it says that in verse 17, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see, that's the misunderstanding, because if the Bible didn't make that distinction, didn't make that clarity, one man sins, everybody dies. One man dies, Jesus, everybody lives. No. You must be born again. That only comes through faith with Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is a difference. Death passed upon all men. Christ's provision, you will not receive it until by faith you receive it, as it says, which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Now verse 18, let's look at verse 18. The free gift came unto all. That's what it says here. Therefore, as by one, the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In that comparison with Christ, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Folks, I believe this. Salvation is available to all. Period. It's not for a limited few. It's for all. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. You must believe. You must receive. But the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And then finally, in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Well, it's dealing with the vast multitude, so you could say many were made sinners. We all know this. Who all was made sinners? All. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many be made righteous. Now, all will not be made righteous except by faith, except by receiving the abundance. Here's the simplicity of this passage here. Only Christ delivers from death. And so I'll finish with this. My message is shorter tonight. If you die in Adam, you will die a second death. You will die eternally. If you die in Christ, you will have eternal life. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. One man brought sin, sin brought death, the law revealed sin, one man brought grace. Jesus is way better than the first Adam. The free gift came unto all, only Christ delivers from death. That's the simple message. Who is the gospel for? All men. Who did Christ provide for? All men. Let's pray.